everybody, and welcome to the Classic Black Dude Podcast with your host, Clark Jones, a.k.a. Pod Strickland. We are back at Studio 71. I've been on the road in D.C. Doing some shows with that. Shout out to Mad Scientist Studio for letting me come out there and rock. So much has been going on since I've been out of town, personally and in the world. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. A lot of news, maybe an impeachment, maybe not. I'm really putting a timestamp on this episode. Or it could last forever. Who knows? Lizzo and Mike Vick in the news. Ooh, it's getting controversial. And somebody asked me, did white people invent evil? And I was like, ugh, I don't know. That's a good question. I just wasn't ready for it. Because they don't get credit for inventing things. And, you know, I think credit should go where it's due. Today on the show, two dudes I just met outside of Studio 7. We're going to hear in lovely Burbank, California. No, these guys are my closest friends. And that's not the reason why they're on the show. Like, these dudes, it's crazy. They actually are very accomplished. And that's the best part. Like, you got to, iron sharpens iron. You know what I mean? I read RZA's autobiography, so I'll be talking with the Dunson, the language, mathematics, the real ones know. Will Miles, Half Hour, Comedy Central. Let me finish. Half Hour Comedy Central, writer for Grownish. Okay, me, I wasn't sure. I'm glad you didn't correct me. No, I'm going to intro you. Writer for Grownish, formerly. The All That reboot, which is killing. I didn't know All That was the kids' version of SNL. That's something I read in Entertainment Weekly. And writer Sherman Showcase. God damn. Kenny fucking DeForest. Two late night appearances.
Well then.
Damn.
And like back to back years, right?
About a year and a half apart, yeah.
In comedy, that's a year.
Yeah.
In comedy, that's 6 months.
That's it. That's a lifetime. Yeah. Lil Rally never been on done a late night set outside of Arsenio. This motherfucker had two in consecutive years.
Damn.
HBO's crashing. Fucking, you just did Pete Holmes' podcast.
Yeah.
You made it weird. So these dudes actually work. This is intentional. I'm like, I'm going to be around some people who going to do their shit. I'm lying. I met these guys just out. And it just happened that we clicked and connected. Me and Will, for the 2 millionth time, went to high school and college together. We met freshman year of high school at Whitney Young. Should have been a Dolphin.
That's right.
And on the bridge, it was hip-hop was huge then.
Freestyling, beatboxing.
All four elements. I met Kenny. We were singing doo-wop songs.
That's right.
In front of some comedy
Chicago
show.
Chicago Joe's.
That was actually the second time. The first time I met you, I walked with you to the ATM in front of, where do we do Two Black Dudes?
Town Hall Pub.
In front of Town Hall, we walked to the ATM and you like pulled out like $300. I was like, damn, he trusts me.
You know,
that was the first day I met you. Fresh to the scene, still telling people you're doing improv.
Yeah.
But you had a goal in mind. So I love a success story. So I love being around these guys. And they also, I don't know, they're funny. What y'all think about the Lizzo shit?
Lizzo
was at the LA game, front row with a booty out. It's hard to talk
about,
right?
To each his own, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm saying y'all up. Kenny, what are your thoughts?
I think, you know, Lizzo's earned the right to have her booty out if she wants to have her booty out.
Yeah.
You know, like if you can't play the flute like that, keep your booty where it belongs. But if you're going to play the flute like that, put your booty where you want.
She's giving a lot.
She's very talented, yeah.
The thing about artistry is, man, like, you just really, success is when the input start matching the output.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a lot of, like, some gigs I know y'all have had or experiences where it's like, damn, I shouldn't be here. But.
And parties.
And parties and high moments where you're like, damn, I shouldn't be here. But then there's been some low moments, too, where you're like, damn, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So, like, it all balances out in the end.
That's a good point.
That's the career. That's the worst and best of the career.
Yeah. There's rarely a middle point.
Yeah.
So these things kind of like in their wide, you know, inequality.
Yeah.
They make it normal. But it's emotionally taxing.
Yes.
It must be. I mean, yeah. I met Lizzo 2 years ago.
Yeah.
With Hannibal.
Burris?
Hannibal Burris.
Oh, okay.
He was doing his podcast, and he was in town in L.A., and I just moved here.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, you want to come over? I got Lizzo. I was like, okay, cool. I don't know who that is.
How hard is it not to do a Hannibal impression?
I know.
Right there?
Yeah. Hey, you want to come over?
Lizzo here.
Yeah.
I got Lizzo.
So I went over, and she was smoking. I was like, man, I don't know who this person is, but she's funny.
Yeah.
And then she was like, just so regular, not so regular. That sounds like I'm trying to shade her.
On Black Twitter, that's definitely shade.
But I mean, she's just
so regular.
She was just like a funny person who I had no idea what music she had or anything. And then I was like, oh man, she's pretty funny. Who's that? She's cool.
You know, it's like
6 months later, it was like, you don't know Lizzo? I was like, I didn't 6 months ago.
It's also like her personality is swagger and confidence. So
yeah,
like booty out is part of it.
I think she's just nuts, and that's fine. Like, I don't even know. I think she was kind of, I think she would do that if she had $13 in her account.
Yeah. She acted.
It's like
wild back, like funny and sort of famous back then. And she wasn't famous at all.
That's the only way you could like make history now. You got to be that fucking individual. Even playing the flute and lingerie. Who the fuck else has done that?
Right.
Yeah. And that, like talented
a
level.
New twist on an old classic.
And yeah. it's like, yo, that's how we're introducing you.
Yeah,
people gonna be seeing you for the first time. You gonna be playing a flute wearing lingerie,
good ass flute too.
I mean, not missing a beat. She dancing.
Yeah,
yeah, and she's like, you know, she's so positive at a time where she resonates with people because there's so much pessimism, and then you just got Lizzo being like, ah,
yeah, you know? I look good. I'm dancing. I'm singing.
Yeah.
Who was that an impression of?
Me.
I look good. I'm dancing. I'm singing.
That's me in the writer's room.
That's you. She right before you go to work.
Yeah.
Hey. Confidence boost regimen. I look good. I'm dancing.
I look good. I'm singing. I'm dancing. Well, that's not a pitch.
So, nobody. We're grown men, man. We don't. Like, do what you do. Somebody had to.
I mean, 80% of us are looking at booties on phones all
anyway,
day long. Yeah.
I think that's a low number.
Man.
Yeah, 99%. Sometimes while driving down the 101.
Yeah.
If it pops up on
accident. I see a lot of scrolling in this city. A lot of you're not even texting. You are looking at asses and double tapping while you drive down the 101.
Yeah, like participating. That's a bit much while you driving. I can see you scroll. Yeah, like you said, scrolling, but like. Tapping,
yeah, you're
it's
tapping.
Of, you're engaging.
It's because of the trap. Every time there's like a minute to stop, everybody's on their phone and
can't wait to get back.
They're like,
"Oh
yeah, all right, great." It's a stop, and then 10 minutes go by, and they don't realize that everybody else has started driving.
Yeah,
and then you're like, "Honk, honk, I hate you."
you don't like to drive anyway.
I hate driving.
Also, think about my girl made this point where how many people move here that
say
that
name.
Have never driven before, and so then they move here, and then your first test is LA traffic. Like you've never driven a car, so you're learning in this. So no one knows what to do.
It's insane. Like it seems like a lot of people like who come from New York or places where there's a train system, they drive like that video game Cruising USA.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's just, that's the only thing they know about California is Cruising USA.
Where's the, I was told there'd be a large tree to drive
through. Yeah. Hey, how come these backgrounds keep changing?
Yeah. What is this?
It's supposed to be 7 cactuses
when
on rotation.
When I turned left, I was told my car would immediately flip to a 45-degree angle. Yeah.
What's all this braking people are doing? This isn't like the video game.
I drive like crazy taxi.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Will has a phobia. Taxi. He has a phobia. He doesn't drive on open road.
Yeah, very true.
How'd you find this out?
Driving on open road.
Oh.
And then having a panic attack. It was driving back from Morehouse, which probably was related to the fact that I had a failure of a summer there. And
it was
stuff.
Other things going on, for
sure. Yeah, it was a lot going on. I had to get
Maybe
a job.
Maybe it was the fact that I drank brown liquor for 57 straight days.
Yeah. Man.
But I think it was the open road.
Yeah, it was the open road. It didn't matter that I smoked 21 blunts a day.
Yeah, I didn't take a breath
year.
Without having weed and blunt in it, but probably the open road that's got me fucked up.
Yeah.
The thought of smoking that many blunts now, by the way, is so insane to me. 21 blunts on my 21st birthday.
You did?
Yeah.
To the Roach?
No, to the Roach, but like with like
you was in yeah,
people
yeah,
who
yeah,
like,
still.
If Ooh. I said their name, they'd lose their job.
How about a rap song called 21 Blunt Salute?
Hell yeah. I think we called it that.
That has to have been done before. 21 Blunt
it's
Salute.
It's a 21 Blunt Salute.
Yeah. Somebody's done that. Gotta be, right?
If get they loot. Have,
like, I feel like Obie Trice or somebody.
21 Blunt Salute, get loot. That's the thing. Come on, put it out. I'm the Kenny Beats of this guy.
Kenny Beats.
Kenny Beats.
Yeah, I'll be the Kenny Beats of this crew. Let's go.
You said you feel like Obie Trice probably had it?
I feel like Obie Trice had a song called 21 Blunt Salute.
You're saying that because any Obie Trice song is forgettable.
Y'all can't fact check this. Yeah. You don't know if he didn't make a song called that because you don't know his work. You're not familiar
that's like
with
the
his
roast.
Work.
That's his roast. Yeah. You know what's great about you?
Yeah. I can make up anything you know, about your life.
No one can roast your songs because no one can remember them.
Yeah, exactly. Oh! Damn.
Yeah. Kenny just acted out the meme from that Barack Obama where it's like a rap battle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Joe Biden is Home Alone.
Home Alone face?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. That's so crazy. Home Alone gets the credit, but that it's a what painter is that? That's a Van Gogh, where it's like the screaming.
Oh yeah,
I forget who it is.
I think it is a Van Gogh.
Let's hope it is because we just said it three times.
Yeah.
Why don't you pack your things, Van Gogh?
Nah.
What's that from? Play it on words. This is Classic Black Dude. We're gonna take a quick break. I'm so glad to have our guests here on the show. As you can tell. We are just getting to know each other. We'll be right back here at Studio 71, Classic Black Dude with your host, Pod Strickland. And we are back with our guests, Will Miles and Kenny DeForest. Will just started recording so he can re-release this.
Yes.
Kind of like Hannibal's doing. Hannibal's re-recorded his first album, My Name is Hannibal.
Swaggy. So swaggy.
Just so he can own it.
I love it.
Jay-Z talked about that on 444. Own your shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do white people talk about ownership in their families?
Do they need to?
No. Or is that just a natural thing?
Yeah, it's more implied.
Yeah. You better be out there owning something. You know that much.
Everything the sun touches.
Yeah. Well, who says it's not yours? Who says? Make them prove it, Kenny.
We got to keep instilling that in the youth.
Yeah. They can't prove it's not yours.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we're told. I have that tattooed on my lower back.
Isn't that in the bylaws of being white?
Yeah. They can't prove it's not yours. Make them prove it.
Make them prove
they have
that it's theirs.
It just says in all caps at the bottom of the slide, it just says, use the system.
Yeah.
It is there for you. Yeah. Use it.
There's a special white bookshop with all parenting books for white kids.
Use the system that we have set up for you.
You got this.
It's always a home game.
Black parenting books are like,
shit, fight your way out.
300 pages. It's the white parenting book's 100.
It's not even hardback. It's just like a little manual.
Keep
use
this
your
in
privilege.
Your pocket.
Bring it with you.
Use this card to get out of anything. Just a picture of somebody in a suit.
So you've thought about this
for years,
in toto. Yeah, man. Both we started our voyage in Chicago, the great city of Chicago, on the South Side, and Kenny did more black rooms than Will.
Kenny had a car.
Oh, that's what we go. Oh, it's open roads. You can't.
I would ride to the black rooms with Kenny.
Will you come to the black room? If Kenny coming?
If Kenny, you driving to black rooms? Come on, man. We got to hit these black rooms.
Oh, my God. The first time. Speaking of black rooms, man, I remember the Domino Sugar competition, me and Will.
Oh, yeah. Feels racist for
just
a sugar
nothing,
company to host a black comedy competition.
Whatever you think the promotion for it looked like, that's what it looked like.
Hey, y'all all got pre-diabetes.
Yeah,
here we go.
Yeah, I had on a bow tie to make matters worse, and there's photo evidence. That's why I hate the internet. It's photo evidence. I wore New Balances, a velvet sport coat, a bow tie, and dress pants. And man, that's the first time I ever got like heckled. where it wasn't even good. I was just so heartbroken. She was like, "You are not funny."
Oh yeah,
that black lady in the back.
Yeah, yes.
Wow.
I didn't know that happened.
Yes.
For, I thought it only happened to like Don Rickles.
No,
I didn't know regular people were rude.
Hecklers don't realize that that's how you cut through. You just got to say what you're thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Hecklers try to correct your jokes. We're ready for that. That doesn't, whatever. But if someone just says, "You're not funny, you're a fraud."
Yeah.
Every comedian will just melt down. Oh, no.
That's what I was thinking about myself.
Yeah. It's just like, if you say something, well, you'll sound like a dick if you roast them back, because they weren't roasting you, they just told the truth.
Yeah,
it's got to be that direct. It's like, if I try to make fun of you,
even like
I'm
someone going, say something funny, you know, that's at least like off you.
It's
that's constructive still, right? We can work with that. Say something, oh, I'm trying.
But
if you literally just say, "You're bad at your dream,"
we're not having fun.
Wish you would leave. Oh man,
oh my god, I've said that to somebody
I hate your shirt.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Does that come back?
You can respond to that. Roast. Don't try to roast a comedian. Tell them the truth.
I told you about that time at Jokes when I bombed so bad. The only feedback I got was a woman goes, "Honey, that was very brave."
That's funny.
She complimented my courage.
Oh, man.
It does take that. The reason I respect a lot of, during that time on King Drive, South Side of Chicago, you know, when white comics kind of came solo, like King's coming by himself, like, "Yo, I'm just here to tell jokes."
In a pickup truck.
In a red,
white pickup
truck. With a Ron Paul sticker on the back.
Yeah, exactly.
A white libertarian from Missouri showed up to Jokes and I was going, probably had chewing tobacco still
100%
in my teeth.
Yeah, and that's definitely like, in the driver's compartment.
That's how legendary the show was. People would be like, "Oh, he must be telling jokes tonight."
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one of them white dudes from the north side.
Yeah.
Coming up here to tell
Otherwise,
jokes.
He's lost.
Yeah. He's crazy. Yeah. He's going to get made fun of if he's in the audience.
I remember one time a guy was like, "You ever take the train down here?" Like, testing to see if I would make the walk from the train to the club. And I was like, "Yeah, I've taken the train down here."
Yeah.
Had you taken the train down here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because that would have been a great lie.
Yeah, just he was like, "Yeah, I've taken the train down here. Don't make me prove it. I don't know where the station is."
Yeah. It was only 3 blocks away. I remember one ride there, I heard a woman, she was playing the instrumental to Gangsta's Paradise.
And in a car?
No, on the train, on the Green Line.
Oh, on
her
phone.
She was playing it on the phone on the Green Line and just singing, "We've been spending most of our lives," but just singing the chorus for like at least 40 minutes.
Oh, my.
Like just through the song?
No song, just chorus.
Been spending,
That's We've been spending most of our lives, living in for a whole... whole ride.
And you were going to Jokes?
Yeah. I must have been if I was in the Green Line. I don't know where else I'd be going.
Mike Vick. Man, this has been dividing everybody.
Oh, yeah, the dog stuff.
I don't want to engage. I did. I was proud. I didn't engage in the Lizzo discussion because, like, whatever. But I did engage in the Vick discussion. And it's never a good idea.
I actually have not seen how it's resurfaced.
So he's the captain of the Pro Bowl team this year.
Okay.
Honorary.
Yeah.
And people are like, he doesn't deserve this.
Come on, man. He served his time. He lost the prime of his career. He straightened himself out. He came back a better football player and a better person.
And a better person, for sure.
So it's like, you know, what do you want from people?
People feel really, really strongly about this.
And I also care more about animals than people. That's
without
the shit
a doubt.
That makes me so upset about it, man, is it's like there are NFL players that have murdered people. Like, come on, dude. Ray Lewis is on TV talking. He probably killed a guy.
He definitely did.
There was blood on his suit, and he was basically like, "Don't ask me about that."
I feel like when we were at school, somebody was like, "Oh, I remember him handing the knife to his friend and being like, 'You take the rap.'" And I was like, "I don't think we should be hearing this."
Yeah, it was at Visions, in front of Visions Nightclub.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in Atlanta. We were going to school, maybe 6 months later or something?
So much is what happened in that. We were in a very peak Atlanta time, 2001 through 2005.
Yeah.
Like, so much shit where people look back and like, "Oh, yeah, I was there for that.
Yeah.
I was in Atlanta for that."
I mean, Welcome to Atlanta came out probably our junior year.
That was our freshman year.
That was our freshman year?
Yeah, no.
No, that was later.
Sophomore or junior.
They still hadn't welcomed Atlanta to like rap yet. It was like, Welcome to Atlanta was like.
That was the official.
We were like, "Oh, I definitely saw this coming. Everybody down here is popular as hell."
Yeah, and they play their own artists and music and shit like that.
And T.I. had that big ass wife beater on.
And T.I. used to be at our school handing out mixtapes.
CDs, yeah.
CDs.
Being
CD
like, hey, fuck with me. Shout out.
Give it up for Will's voice work.
Y'all gonna fuck with me, shout?
He, for real.
Let me check
this was
behind.
every fuck Friday.
With me. Fuck with me.
That's what Clayton says.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey,
yeah.
Fuck with me.
Shout out to Clayton English, Old Spice representative on Instagram.
Get that's that
so
Old Spice
cool,
money.
Man.
That's so
I
cool.
know that bag.
That's a, yes, you do. Yes, you do.
It's a life-changing bag.
You and Langston know that bag.
Speaking of dope TV appearances, Mr. Fox, NFL.
Yeah.
Saunders.
Dr. Clark
in the building.
It's cool. Yeah, man.
That's
but
awesome.
No matter what. Go ahead.
I taped it.
That's awesome.
Oh, no matter what. And you said you know the Old Spice bag. You know the Fila bag. Good or bad, it's never what everybody thinks it is.
No.
Exactly.
On the other side of it.
I think entertainment would be served to, so like forever it's been like presenting to the public that everyone's rich and doing well. I think we should start being honest.
Yeah.
People think we're doing better than we are.
This
man.
Check was way less after taxes and agents is what more people,
people go with what they recognize too. Like, if you do something with Nike, sometimes you're in a Nike commercial, but you work with a company that works with Nike.
Yeah. Yes. And like, yes. That,
like you get hired from the production company.
Right.
Not.
And even that Fila stuff I did, that was like non-union side. Like that was like,
yeah.
That, a guy had been hired by Fila to do an online campaign. And he approached me, and it was like, here's the budget. This is what it is. There was no residuals, nothing.
You
it was like, I got paid
like
one time. No.
Yeah.
Flown I haven't in even on gotten my swag, jet. By the way,
yeah.
Which I followed up on three times now.
Fila beef.
And I'm like, I will wear the Fila if you send me the Fila.
Damn.
I have emailed you my address. I don't know what else to do.
I see Rob Hayes rocking shoes all the time.
Rob Hayes, Rob Hayes got all his Fila.
Yeah.
And
he
I'm
got
trying
all
to say,
Fila,
so. I'm not trying to say it's racial discrimination.
But can a white man get a
break? You don't think a white man could do the same thing for Fila?
Yeah. He got all your shoes.
Didn't y'all start his tennis clothes? Come on.
The thing they don't also mention is how much debt you're in before you get any of these things.
The output. Yeah. The output of it weighs the input that you get for so many years.
Oh, yeah, man. I remember, after I did my first late night spot, I went home like right afterwards. It was right around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So I was home and it was like, drinks on Kenny. And I was like, no, sir. I'm sorry.
Me.
I already paid my rent with that check.
Yeah, exactly.
And had two meals.
Yeah. Most of that money already had somewhere to go.
And tried to get the flight voucher, but they weren't going.
I was like, y'all are overbooked, right?
Because
I can fly later.
Y'all can fly me to LA and back.
Oh, man. So, when they say shit like, we'll pay up to $700 if you take the later flight, it's like, ooh, really?
Yeah.
It's all flight credit. It's like, I'll take the flight credit. Trust me.
Yo, they come through with some deals sometimes, depending on whatever airline you're in or whatever. They'll come through, even though I hate this. It's such a I don't even want to go there on airplanes because so many comedians do.
I know.
I just can't do it anymore.
There's certain airlines who offer that. It's like, that means I got to spend $700 with United Airlines. It's like, well.
That's one flight.
Also,
exactly.
How crazy is it that they can just be like, hey, by the way, we sold too many tickets.
Yeah.
So one of you can't go. And it's like, why did you?
Somebody.
How are we the ones that?
There's a set amount of seats on the plane.
Yeah.
I knew that going in.
Yeah.
That's when you unionize and you say, yeah, one person gets it, but you got to raise the price up. Mm-hmm. You got to make the deal sweeter. If everybody's like that and agrees, then they can split the money up.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
See, I'm a socialist. I'm a champagne socialist.
Damn. What's that mean?
It means like you like everybody share, but like it's bonuses.
Good. I like that. Yeah.
To it. So like, yeah, you could be like, you can't spend fucking 180 mil.
That sounds like that's a ridiculous amount of money.
Well, the new pitcher for the Yankees, he got like 364 mil for 7 years or something like that. I'm just like, even that, you can be that rich. Jeff Bezos, you cannot be under champagne socialism.
Well, that's what's funny. Like, you know, AOC, that whole crew, they've got the most aggressive proposal, and it's still a marginal tax on $10 million a year.
$10 million is
a year.
Start getting
$10 million a year.
Yeah,
is it so even that low? I feel like it's even higher.
It's a year though.
Oh,
but I'm saying per
who's
year.
Making $10 million per year?
So I'm saying if you file $9,500,000 on your income taxes,
yeah,
you're being taxed at the same rate you would be.
Yeah.
So like,
once you hit $10 million in ten, that last $10 is going to be 70% taxed. But everything before the $10 million is normal. It's a marginal tax.
But also, that's for that year, though.
Like, yeah,
that,
yeah,
so
yeah.
If you make a bag of $70 million in a year, you get taxed on that one time.
Yeah,
$60 million.
Yeah, the $60 million will be taxed at 70%. The $10 million will be taxed at like whatever
20%. 70% is crazy.
That's 70%
is
high.
That's yeah. So crazy.
Ooh, but I'm saying that's the most aggressive proposal.
I must be. Like very optimistic about my future. I'm like, damn, right? How much? Over 10 mil?
Well, especially how comedians and entertainers get paid. It's like, well, we get that one check and that's supposed to last us like 10 years.
Yep.
Yeah, there's also
and,
that.
And people won't have it if you don't have that money anymore. Everyone's, they're like, see, he blew it. He
yeah, exactly. Well,
I'm just like,
well, most of it was spent 70% was taxed.
See, this, y'all voted for AOC.
This is the problem. Everyone's a socialist until they get money.
Exactly, yep. Yeah.
That is, like, that is truly the problem. If we're all being honest, that's what it is.
I think you could be a socialist probably if you grew up rich. But if you're new to money, you're like, well, no, don't take this away. I just got it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Let me enjoy this privilege for a little while.
Let me have 2 years of non-socialism, and then I'll give you socialism.
Nah, bro. That's the thing. Everybody, like in idea or in scope, like socialism makes sense for everybody. But nobody wants to be a part of that changing of the guard.
You know who hates it? Is people say, who's going to pay for it? The answer to that question is who hates it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who's going to pay for this?
Me?
Oh, us?
Damn.
Yeah. All right. That's right. Can I take individuals on?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. Like, I nobody wants to be a part of it. If we had socialism, everybody would be like, okay, this is cool. Utopia, whatever, whatever. But it's like, you don't want to be the one who changes from capitalism to socialism. If they did it 50 years ago, if they do it in 50 years from now, everybody's like, I don't care.
Yeah. If I was raising it, it'd be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
But
well, you don't want to be the first to share.
And here's the thing. If billionaires actually, you know, they all talk a big game. Like Bill Gates is like, I'm going to give away all my wealth.
Yeah,
and then he's
yeah.
And then he's somehow getting richer. And Bezos has said he's going to pick up all these causes. If they actually did, we could preserve capitalism. It just requires more. It just requires more true philanthropy, actually addressing things.
Okay.
Because the problem is.
Speak on it, Sean.
Speak on it.
Politician.
Talcum X.
But
Talcum X. That's not mine. That's Black Twitter. That thanks
that
for
is
that.
Great.
Talcum X is
but
fantastic.
That's what they call. Great. That's what they call.
Hey, Dolomite Black Twitter, man. Just
man.
What if you could just Dolomite Black Twitter? Dolomite just took somebody's act and then made it his own. It's like, well, if you just took Black Twitter and set it on stage,
oh man,
it would crush.
Every day in my trending, it's like professional comedians and then a random person from Black Twitter that said the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's just a
random teenager from North Carolina.
Yeah. Just concise and perfect.
Yeah, that concisely explained what bad dick feel like.
Black Twitter's word economy is the best. Yeah. They know how many words you need. It's like 7 words, and you just said everything I need to know about any topic.
Yo, like, Black girl at an Ivy League, Black girl who went to an Ivy League Twitter is kind of funny, too. Mm-hmm. Like, Jamila Lemieux, even though she went to...
I think she went to Howard, right?
She went to Howard. That's Black Ivy League.
Yeah. Shout out to her. I think she's out here now.
That's great. We went to high school with Jamila Lemieux. Yeah. Like, me and Will went to high school with Jamila.
Who else?
We went to college.
Lovey Ajayi.
Lovey Ajayi.
And if you watch any news program, we went to college with them. And whoever you're watching,
Jeffrey Bennett, who's on the NBA, he's the
White House correspondent for DC,
looking like Cory Booker.
I know, right? Bakari Sellers, who was
our
literal
friend.
We graduated college with.
I picked the right schools: white, black, Asian, whatever you are. Go to Spelman and Morehouse and Whitney Young High School, because. It's a great, it's going to be tough while they're there. But afterwards, the alumni situation is pretty sick. Kenyon Sejuri does say historically white college.
Yeah, it's a historically, HWCU. Long proud tradition. Like,
just the WC. That sounds like the dude who used to rap with Ice Cube.
But it's a liberal arts college.
What's that connection? Ah, there you
go. It's a liberal arts college, so. We're producing some of the good ones.
Oh, so that's what they make, y'all.
Yeah.
Yo, even with the...
Drury is cool, though. Shout out Drury University.
What was the dopest thing about it?
There was a... they have a required minor that every student there gets called it's like the Global Perspectives program. So yeah. GP21 is what it was called when I was GP, there. That's what it's still called. Yeah. But it's basically just a bundle of classes that are designed to give you a more global perspective on things and like open your mind, which really was helpful as a white dude that grew up in Southwest Missouri.
I used to wonder where you got your worldliness from.
That started it. They had this class called Alpha when you were a freshman, and it was literally just like learning to talk about things. It's essentially like there was a reading list, but you would just debate things, and the professor was very much teaching you like maybe there's not a right answer. Discuss, talk.
That's
like,
the best.
I remember one time we had to write an essay about abortion rights, but you can't use the Bible as a reference.
Oh, in Missouri?
So if you want to be anti-abortion, you better come with arguments that have nothing to do with the Bible. And he was explaining the separation of church and state. And like, but he was also saying, if you are against abortion, it's also behooves you to be able to come up with an argument that has nothing to do with the Bible.
True.
And he was explaining because there's a separation of church and state, that's not going to hold up. So if you want to, so it was like, yo, it was also for both sides of the aisle, he was still opening our minds to how you think about things.
That's critical thinking. That's great.
There's such a line drawn or a distinct difference between people who were on debate team and people who weren't. Most people who are on debate team are lawyers now, argument lawyers or whatever. But like, even talking to some comedians or whoever, like, it's just a certain way that people who, were you on debate team, debate club?
I know I should have been. I was not, but that's one of those things I would see.
That's
it.
A flex. Yeah. I should have been.
I should have done it.
Yeah, I don't want to stay.
I mean, they needed me.
But I guess what I mean is I internally knew I was interested, but it was that thing in high school of playing sports and being like, I'm an athlete. I'm not doing all these extracurriculars. I'm a ball player. I don't got, you know.
Yeah.
You get so ego about it where you're like, same with acting. Like, I always wanted to audition for the plays, but I was like, I'm a ball player, dude.
Yeah.
You know.
What got you to go up at an open mic or whatever first? What got you to do that?
I think because I quit playing ball, honestly. It was like very clearly, it was like, I'm kind of free now. Like I kind of felt, I was really sad and like fucked up over it. But I also was like, oh man, I can do all this other stuff now. All this stuff I've been not doing.
Mm.
Now there's room for a new identity. Go find it. And so
you remember the place?
Yeah, it was the Outland Ballroom in Springfield, Missouri. Okay. It's like a music open mic. I followed a one-man blues band.
So it had that music microphone stand?
Yeah, it had the music microphone.
The drums in the back.
The dude, it was like four of my friends at this booth and then two musicians, and that was it.
No facial hair?
I probably had I probably had a chin strap beard, no mustache.
Hilarious. You were a turtle back then.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a relief picture.
Wait, no mustache.
No mustache.
Oh, that is like...
Just hadn't started growing in yet. Yeah, so it was like real... Real white boy Midwest, you know. Real.
What is it? Did you have the like? Was it a smooth
the pencil?
Beard, or was it the hard cut at the jawline?
That's a good
it just followed my jawline.
Yeah. Okay.
It followed my jawline.
So, you didn't go crazy.
Yeah. I didn't go completely nuts.
That's where Dan Friesen started too, right?
Columbia, Missouri.
Columbia, right?
Yeah.
Homo. That's where Missouri is. University.
Yeah.
I used to take a trip from Chicago to Mizzou to see my old boo.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Was that when you were driving the cars? As fast as you wanted?
That was in Atlanta. Actually, Will, were you on that job too?
Which one?
In college, the greatest job I ever had was driving government cars back to like South Carolina. And we had clearance, so we could go as fast as we want in these Dodge Stratuses going from Atlanta to South Carolina, I think.
I remember when y'all did that. I did not do that. I don't like driving.
We got paid. Right. The thing that you hate. Did you ever do that?
Fast as you want out there on that open road.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Frighten me.
Oh, my God. We were doing like 120and getting paid for it. And they couldn't pull us over because diplomatic immunity. And, you know, as soon as we heard that, we had to do it because the diplomats had an album called Diplomatic Immunity. Yeah. And we just wanted to say, yo, we had diplomatic immunity. You know what I'm saying? Because it sounds so cool.
Yeah, that is cool. That's like spy stuff.
It was amazing.
It's privilege. Like that stuff you don't even know it's real. Yeah,
that's what privilege felt like.
Yeah, you had privilege for that day. You know, the cops couldn't touch you.
You don't want to give it up.
My dad's friend was an African dude who was a diplomat, though. And he would, like, do whatever he wanted.
Africa's a whole continent, though.
This dude, I know. He was
like, he was a USA.
I think he was Ghanaian, I want to say.
Okay, you made that.
But I was eight. But he would, like, drunk drive and be fine. He would just do random shit. And never get in trouble. He'd speed and be like, look how fast we're going. And I'd be like, I'm 10. I don't think you can do this.
Oh, so now we're knowing where it's coming from.
Yeah.
I think we're getting to the root of the problem. I thought she was bullshitting, but now, and I bet there are more stories.
Oh yeah, guaranteed. Yeah, I did see some shit.
Oh man, that's crazy.
That is crazy. But
yeah, that diplomatic immunity shit is crazy. It's like they make movies about it, how diplomats will murder and then not go to jail for it.
Well, that is like, and like privilege on that level, it is intoxicating, right? Like,
how could it not?
It's like when you see like a lawyer's kid or something. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's a kid at our high school that his dad was one of the most feared lawyers in the city, and so he tested it, dude. He like would swing on cops because they knew who he was. And they were like, if we put all the effort we need to into wrangling this kid and throwing him in jail and taking him to court, he's going to get off.
Yeah.
So why bother? And he knew that.
That's what happened when I was living in Eagle Rock. There was a big fire, and everybody was blaming, because there's a lot of tent cities in Eagle Rock, and they were blaming all the homeless people. Like, oh, a homeless person probably did, because it was near a homeless shelter, which is like diabolical for who did it, which happened to be the mayor's son.
Yeah.
Which is
and his
insane,
friend.
Yeah.
And they just, like, he got out, like, the next hour, and his friend got stuck in there because he couldn't afford it. I'm like, that's fucked. You going to leave your boy in there, and you got the money? Even though it was, like, I think it was, like, 50 racks.
Better be. I mean, that's attempted murder.
Yeah, of several people.
Arson, attempted
murder. Mass murder. Yeah.
Mass murder.
Yeah.
Damage to property. Like all the charges.
Yeah, he didn't like homeless people, right? The mayor's son, or it was like the councilman's son.
Yeah, he tried
like
to
that.
Set him up.
Yeah,
that's terrible. Wow. Who knows if I don't know? Somebody else might have known about it. He shouldn't have brought a friend if he wanted to get away with it.
Yeah. True. Yeah,
that's where he fucked.
You're rolling solo on that one, man.
Yeah, if he really was about.
Well,
that
did life. Yeah? I was listening to an interview yesterday with Brock Turner's victim. She wrote a book, and then she's doing stand up now too.
Brock Turner, convicted sexual assaulter.
He was? Oh yeah, but he only got 3 months.
Yeah, so
if that,
crazy.
If that, yeah.
Time, sorry.
He got out early.
Well, not sexual assault, let's call it, but rapist. I mean, straight up rapist.
Yeah, he's a rapist.
And yeah, it's like, it's crazy. It's like, you would think privilege would be like backdoor deals.
Yeah.
Or like
yeah.
kind of like folded paper bills behind, but like now, with social media, you know, it's kind of like people thought body cams would make a huge difference. And then it's like, oh, but
it just
now
made people
scared. Care. Yeah.
It just
also,
made, like, you're previewing what could happen to you.
Yeah.
And then when they get away with it, you're like, damn. Like the camera guy from Eric Garner got arrested.
Yeah. And he's
which,
dead
yeah.
now, I think.
Yeah. He's dead now,
yeah,
I think. And
now.
17 Ferguson protesters have died.
Yeah.
Since Mike Brown. And the crazy thing in Dallas.
Yeah, what was
where
that?
They
where,
said he went to Louisiana
to buy weed.
Not even that much weed.
To buy less, or like to buy 2 ounces of weed or something.
Something.
And somebody
something
was
dumb.
Like, man, he's way closer to much more weed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why he drive
Texas
that far.
Texas is a port. Like
he drove
Dallas,
from that many states?
Yeah.
And it's like the cops obviously killed that guy.
And there's been no follow. And they had a black spokesman who I ain't never seen.
Ever.
And they just brought him out to some dude with a hard jawline came out talking that. And he looked scary, too.
He was
so
scared.
It's all fear tactics, man.
They just like grabbed him out of somewhere where he was like, he might have been a prisoner. They just
put
a uniform.
What I don't understand at all, too, is people that claim to understand history.
Yeah.
Like, there's a history of these things happening. And then when it happens in real time, people go, they wouldn't do that.
What,
I'm like,
yeah.
Who wouldn't do that?
Yeah.
It's just
like, it's like truly, if there's a historical precedent for anything in this country, is that they will do that.
Yeah, exactly.
What are we talking about?
I want to thank Kenny for checking me a minute ago. That's what friends do. I called it sexual assault. He called it what it is, rape.
And the thing that always grabbed me about that was Brock Turner. No, I'm just kidding. The thing that always grabbed me about
was
that.
Those blue eyes and
yeah.
Boy, he could swim.
Was that fucking charm? And he was a swimmer. Ugh.
No, because the judge was like, "Oh, he's a good kid. We don't need to put him through that." And I'm like, you know how many good kids I know who you didn't say that to, judges?
So many.
Where it's like, oh,
who didn't do it
just because they were black. It's like, well, he's not a good kid. Look at him. I can pull up things he got in trouble for. It's like, well, that's because you got him in trouble for it.
Yeah, it's whatever lens you choose to look at someone through.
Exactly.
You could look at my life through a lens of like, this guy's a piece of shit. You could find plenty.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
I've
easily.
Made plenty of mistakes. Easily.
Like,
there's a lot
there. I get alerts.
I've been warned about you. But I mean, it's like, it's just however you choose to look, whatever lens you choose to look at somebody through, you can find what you're looking for.
That was always what I hated about like elementary schools. Because they're mostly white teachers, and then there's a lot of black kids. And it's like, man, you're penalizing that black kid before you'll penalize that white kid any day of the week.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying the school I worked at, but like other schools I saw it happened at where you're like, oh, yeah, you're definitely penalizing the black kid. He didn't do anything.
I heard about this study they did in Texas. Yeah. It was like a criminal justice statistician, basically. Yeah. And he somehow basically realized that they had been saving like some law change. Without realizing it, they started collecting really usable data to study the impact of punishment on kids. And so he looked at it. He was looking for racial bias and how young it starts. And it was like kindergarten. Like, because white teachers, if you've not been around black people, you view any emotion from a black person as aggression.
Yeah.
So a little kid with maybe ADD, for instance, would come in all fired up. And a little white kid is going to be like, hey, something's going on here. With a black kid, it's like, you're disruptive. And then detention. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Detention, you know, suspension, whatever. And it was just basically talking about how it starts the mindset of you're a criminal, you're not, at such a young age.
And then you sit in that and you're when you're told you're a criminal, you're going to start acting like a criminal. And that just carries into adult life. That was always, I never got black kids in trouble at the school, which to a fault probably at times.
High schools are built like prisons.
Yeah.
Kenny, where can they find you?
At Kenny DeForest, DeForest.
Will?
That's Instagram and Twitter.
Yep.
At MR Will Miles. Miles is spelled the regular way, like the measure of length. M-I-L-E-S. A lot of people spell it with a Y. I'm like, who spelled it with a Y?
M-Y-L-E-S?
People spell it with a Y. I'm like, have you seen Miles before?
At Mr. Will Miles and at Miss Julia Rossi, your wife. And at Sashir Zameda. Uh-huh. Yep. Your girl, your fiance.
Correct.
Well, you can find me single and ready to jingle. At the Clark Jones, T-H-E-E Clark Jones. The podcast is at Classic Black Dude and at the Clark Jones. Thank you guys so much for joining me today. We might have to break this up into two episodes, part one and two. I think that'd be sick.
Yeah.
Double album.
Double album.
Booyah.
Let's do it.
Make sure that you like, subscribe, and comment, review. Those reviews and those subscriptions, they are so crucial. Check us out on the YouTube, Classic Black Dude. Thank you everybody for listening too, man. We'll be back. We got into the Brooklyn Podcast Festival.
Hey,
so yes, congratulations.
January
22nd. We'll be live from Union Hall, 10 o'clock show. Guests will be announced soon. It's gonna be hilarious and fun. Brooklyn Podcast Festival. Make sure you check us out. Make sure you follow. We love you. Y'all the best. White people, did y'all invent evil? We didn't get to that question. But check us out. Classic Black Dude, free on Apple Podcasts. We'll be right back.